Some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, The Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I'd like to tell you a little bit about Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio brings you a platform unlike anything on the internet today. A place where voices are heard, ideas are shared, and friendships are formed. So why not join the information revolution at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
UFOs, ghosts, ancient civilizations, the supernatural. We may never know the truth about what's really going on, but it sure is fun to speculate.
This is Fact or Theory Live with your host, Stephen Crawford.
Welcome to Factor Theory Live. I'm Steve Crawford. It is 10:02, March 14th, 2021. What a day. I spend most of Sunday editing because, like, during the week and stuff, I'll see things that, you know, I just watch stuff, listen to the station, listen to some of the other shows, check out the host chat and the chat room at freedomslips.com, www.freedomslips.com, and oftentimes get great show ideas. Like I said before, if you guys come down, check out that site, you can join the chat room, and they have all kinds of stuff popping up there, great discussions and great clips. Hell, I don't know how many times in the last year since I've started, it's been 2 weeks will be a one-year anniversary for me here, and I don't know how many times since I started, I had no idea what I wanted to do for a show, or actually even planned out a complete show. But then, like, the day of the show, somebody put up a clip on a subject that interested me, and I wound up doing that night show entirely on the clip I saw, maybe even just an hour before showtime. And today was similar. I was editing stuff, a bunch of stuff I knew I wasn't going to use today, but then stuff that I forgot that I had, as well as a couple of things that I just saw for the first time today. And this next clip is one of them. So this is Tucker Carlson. They'll say he's talking to a gentleman, another journalist, and they say his name. I believe it's Greg or Glenn, but they end up saying his name. And this guy is going to vaccinate when they're made available, once they're approved by the FDA. And yeah, because they're trying to say that these vaccines are FDA approved. No, not one of them are. So there's a big bunch of bullshit right there for you. But here's this first one. This is Tucker talking to this dude. And this dude's going to be going to get the vaccination when a proper one is available. And even he still thinks it's insanity what's being pulled on us now. So check this out.
So on the question of vaccines, and again, this is not a debate about this vaccine or whether you should get vaccinated, but there are some people who don't want the vaccine for whatever reason. It seems very likely at this point that they will be restricted from doing a number of things that Americans have taken for granted that they can do, like go to work on or fly on airplanes. Is there a civil liberties implication there? Is that a violation of their rights?
Of course, I personally intend to take the vaccine when it becomes available. That's just the assessment personally that I have made. Other people, as you said, for scientific reasons, for political reasons, for religious reasons, or whatever other reasons, don't want to take the vaccine. In fact, large numbers of the population, not just in the United States, but in countries around the world, are adamant about not taking it. The question then becomes, why should they be restricted? If all of us who want to take the vaccine and who are able to take it are now protected from getting the virus or from having the virus harm the organism when we do get it, if that, I mean, that's the point of the vaccine, why are people who don't take the vaccine a threat to anyone but themselves, which is essentially the whole foundation of individual liberty, is that you always have the right to do whatever you want without the government requiring you, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. But they're already talking about things like vaccine passports, where you only can have the rights of citizenry if you submit to a vaccine that you don't actually want to have. And I can't even think of, maybe since the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, a civil liberties restriction as draconian and disturbing as that.
I haven't heard it as crisply and intelligently summarized as that. And there's no question as to why they're trying to shut you up, which they definitely are. And I hope they never succeed. Glenn Greenwald, thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. Kept missing my mute button. But wasn't that beautifully put? I mean, if these vaccines work, right, and a lot of these people have been tricked. You got people telling them that the only way their vaccine will work as if everybody gets it. Like there's this magic moment when the very last unvaccinated person becomes vaccinated, a feeling like the force, just a wave of magical energy will burst forth, and everybody who was vaccinated at that moment in time will know it. And only then will their vaccinations kick in to keep them and their family safe. That's what these people believe. Because there's no, like this guy said, look, if your vaccine works, you're safe. So leave me the hell alone. Your body, your choice. My body, my choice. So, you know, back off, dick. And now into the other clip. This is a guy, a lot of you may have heard of him. Maybe you haven't. You should check out his stuff. His name's Anomaly. He's friends with Roseanne Barr, too. She follows him quite a bit. But this is a pretty good clip right here. Actually, do the reshare again. And it's common sense, right? I mean, most of you guys listening, you know that. But we need people listening to the people that you know that refuse to listen. We've got to find sneaky ways or fun ways to get them to listen to this stuff. Because even if they don't want to hear it from you, then put on. That's why, you know what? A lot of my family doesn't listen to my show either. They don't want to hear anything that comes from me. They will approach me down the road telling me things that are conspiracies that I have brought up to them, and they called me crazy over. They now believe because a friend of them told them so. They heard it from somebody else. My father's case in point. There was one night, probably about 5-6 years ago, when I just really started getting heavy into this and started getting shadow banned. Actually, it was just before I got shadow banned that my dad came over. He'd been calling me schizophrenic? And that may be, but it doesn't mean I'm not right. And just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean there's nobody out to get me, right? So, but he came over, and he would say things like, you know you're schizophrenic, right? I love you, Steve. You're my son, but you're schizophrenic. You're nuts. And a lot of these people, they, you know, most of the time, I think the last time I talked to my father was probably 3 months ago, and I instigated the call. I'm the one who called him. And he was about to hang up. I brought up something, asked him something about himself that he liked to talk about. So I got an extra 5 minutes on the phone with my father. And then after that, it was like, okay, well, thanks for, it was nice chatting with, as if I was just like the neighbor. And he was like, okay, so you got like, no. And that's because of this stuff. But a friend of his, he was over there. They were getting stoned. And he popped on a video showing my dad some stuff about the corruption and how deep it goes and the Rothschilds and stuff. And so my dad goes, you know, Ontario isn't a province, right? And, you know, I get this wry smile on my face and I start giggling a little bit. I'm like, Dad, what are you talking about? What do you mean? He looks from side to side. We're alone in my apartment. So I found that funny at the time. But knowing the things I know now about the extents that they're going to surveil people, it's not quite as funny. But anyway, he looks from side to side. And he goes, it's a corporation. I spit out my coffee. I start laughing my ass off. I'm like, oh, my friggin' God, where the hell did you get that info from? What? I've been telling you this for years. He goes, well, my friend, I can't remember his friend's name, or I'd give him a shout out because he helped wake my dad up. But I'd been doing videos. I had celebrities following me at this point. And actually, at this point, I'd also had the police have showed up a couple of times by then. One of the incidents is on my YouTube channel. Yeah, for anybody listening, we got a good crowd on TalkStream Live and that too. I'd love to find out the numbers for iTunes. You can check me out, Factor Theory Live on YouTube and Factor Theory Live with Steve Crawford on Facebook. I just started a new one. Going to be starting up Rumble. I'm on a couple of the other ones, but I had to write all that info down because I can't remember it anymore. And they're really playing games with me. They won't let me. Every once in a while, I get something from one of these places saying, oh, you need to change your password. So they make me change the password, and then they don't let me use the one I had before. But I've got a horrible memory, so I write this shit down, right? Like a lot of people. But unlike a lot of people, I've got about 20 or 30 journals, partially started books that are full of song lyrics, ideas for shows, movie ideas, book ideas, written in every direction and every part of both sides of the pages. So it becomes hard to find. And there I go digressing. Anyway, back to this clip. This is Anomaly. You guys want to check him out. And this is another good one to push your point to with some fact checking. Here we go. Oh, wait a minute. I've been babbling so long. I better make sure the share is going to work. It only happened to me once, actually, the share screen shutting down. But now it's like totally paranoid of it. Here we go. Anomaly.
Today, I'm going to fact check both sides of politics because there's viral lies going on both sides. The first one comes from President Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, who's telling a provable lie, completely false and completely against the FDA's own words. Take a look.
This means that anywhere you go to get a vaccine, you should just take that vaccine. They've all been approved by the FDA, these three vaccines.
She said they've all been approved by the FDA. Only problem, they actually haven't. FDA.gov put out a fact sheet, literally called fact sheet, of the emergency use authorization for all three of the vaccines, the Moderna, the Pfizer-BioNTech, and the J&J or the Janssen. And specifically in all of them, it says there is no U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. I'm going to repeat that again for Jen Psaki. There is no U.S. FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19.
They've all been approved by the FDA, these three vaccines.
If you scroll down, it says for this one, it was the Moderna. It says the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine has not undergone the same type of review as an FDA-approved or cleared product. They issued an emergency authorization. It's not approved. She's totally wrong. And what's even more crazy and frightening is that it was shared by the White House's official Twitter, posted on the White House website, and I looked, I didn't see a single fact checker fact checking it. That's because they're not really fact checkers. They're partisan hacks who protect certain people, bend over backwards to lie on behalf of certain politicians, and work to cover up information that they don't want people to know or hear. I believe in the facts. I think a lot of people lie and get their facts wrong on social media, but most likely this is the only fact check you'll see for that, because I don't think they care when somebody lies in favor of that product or the type of politician she serves. The second fact check has been going viral on conservative and conspiracy media accounts for years now. I've gotten it sent to me like, I don't know, 50 times. And this claim that Bill Gates is standing in front of the CIA to talk about FunVax or some sort of God gene. And it's a total hoax. If you do your research and search into it, you can find this higher quality video, because a lot of them are purposely low res to fool people into thinking it's Bill Gates. And you could clearly see it's not Bill Gates. It doesn't really even sound like Bill Gates. In my perspective, a lot of things are questionable, but this is a really goofy one that it seems like everybody's falling for. And if you really look it up, it looks like there was some sort of documentary around it and they were fundraising money. I'm not really sure where this video originated, but it seems like, from my research, it was some guy trying to capitalize on a viral hoax that they or their mate or found to try to fundraise and make a documentary off it. Smart marketing strategy? Probably not smart to post to your social media account and to pretend it's Bill Gates when it's not. And when I say stuff like this, I either get two responses. Either people say, thank you, I got fooled, I didn't know. Or people get upset with me and say, man, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to do? I don't care that I'm wrong. I don't care. I'm just going to push it. It doesn't matter who said it. And I think to myself, people call themselves truthers, but are you really concerned with the truth? Or do you just want to find things that you believe or that make you feel good, like you're doing something? If you're a truther, you got to tell the truth. And the truth is, there's no reason to harp on this video, because if you want to talk about Bill Gates, one, it makes you look like fake news. Two, it discredits you. And three, there's so many things that Bill Gates is doing right out in the open that it's not even strategically smart to harp on something like this that's not real, because you're taking focus away from what is real. It's like calling everybody racist or me tooing everybody. The reason it's a problem, because if there is really bad race-based stuff or there are women suffering, if you exaggerate or lie about it, it covers up the people who actually need help. It's the same thing with this. And when it comes to Bill Gates, he really is involved with a lot of vaccines. He does give out a lot of media grants, in which some people question if the media can be swayed because of that. He's involved in backing genetically modified mosquitoes. He talks about a lot how he believes in lowering population growth, and he's very involved in abortion, birth control, and reproductive education resources. If you're conservative, Bill Gates really does have anti-nationalist, pro-global agendas all over the place. He is involved in backing a group that claims that math is racist and filled with white supremacy, which in my opinion sounds pretty ridiculous. If 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2, you successfully now have confused everybody in every topic and every school subject ever. And also, he's involved in something that was also backed by Harvard, which is some sort of sunlight experiment that aims to one day reflect sunlight. And it's interesting looking that up, because Newsweek says fact check false. Snopes says fact check mostly false. And it's nuts, like I told you, they didn't fact check Jen Psaki. But with this, they're bending over backwards to be like, well, no, he didn't technically block it. Well, he's like reflecting it and they're not really doing it. They're just testing to one day do it. It's like, yeah, they're testing to one day do it. And they might one day eventually do it for climate change, but people are allowed to talk about it or have a perspective about it. So they don't even get the facts right. They just cover up for certain people, lie on behalf of certain people, and try to say things are false that are not only debatable, but a gray area where, I get it, some people are misleading, some people have an opinion you don't like, but this is why I don't like the fact checkers and social media implementing them. I know what they're really doing, and they should be ashamed of themselves, because the people who work there, when I contact them and tell them that they get the facts wrong, they literally just don't care. They're so pompous. But anyway, hopefully you like this video, whether you're on the left or the right. Hopefully you learned something, and I would love to see the press secretary explain her lie and then explain what she really meant. But I doubt she'll do that, because people in her position, especially on the left, tend to be really pompous and feel above the law, above facts, above science, above objectivity. Because as long as they could just point the finger at somebody else or a different party, I guess their voting base will never realize how full of baloney they can be sometimes too. But have a good day.
Have a good day, dude. So that was Anomaly. Sorry, I didn't invite you guys. Smoke them if you got them. Once again, I put my cursor up on the screen, so I had 40 seconds before the video was done and decided to partake. So So, yeah, as you can see, you know, there was an emergency authorization. That's a big difference from being approved. And, you know, they really felt like they had no choice. Who am I kidding? They're all part of the plan. But, you know, like, the arguments can be made. And that dude does a lot. I really do suggest checking out some of his vids because he does a lot of good research. He does it the way I used to. Before the last head injury, I'm like, I can feel a migraine coming on now. My ears are ringing. So it makes it really hard for me to stare at a screen for too long. And when I look at words, they just blur. Like the other day, Mr. Rowe shared a link for some of the stats and stuff. About the vaccinations and the deaths that are occurring. And when I clicked on it, it was like, holy crap. It was all, he knows what I'm talking about. And he may even be giggling right now. It's really hard to read, but for someone like me, it just, my eyes crossed, my head started hurting. It just makes it really hard to try to research that kind of stuff. All right, yeah. Now, before the break, there's a couple of things I wanted to get into. Here is one of them. This is short enough. This is a vid about George Knapp and the guy who did the lie detector test for Bob Lazar. It's kind of like a little, he caught up with him. This is what dude's been up to now.
So this is the same machine you used on Lazar? How many polygraphs do you think you've done on this machine?
Thousands. Terry Tavernetti doesn't use his gleaming polygraph machine anymore. During his many years working in corporate security at major casino properties on the Las Vegas Strip, he tested thousands of employees. Before that, he worked as a police officer in Southern California. He had no idea he and his lie detector might be drawn into one of the most controversial UFO cases of all time, the claims made by former government scientist Bob Lazar.
Yeah, I think so.
In November 1989, Lazar's name and face were revealed to the public for the first time in a KLA TV news series. Lazar's claims about working on flying saucers at a hidden facility near Area 51 set off a UFO stampede that continues to this day.
The job I had, the involvement with, the government cover-up, that sort of thing, the story isn't altered in any way.
Lazar agreed to a polygraph test. The first one he did was inconclusive. The examiner thought Lazar was so nervous that it was difficult to get an accurate read on him. Tavernetti was recommended. He questioned Lazar about the central allegations that he had seen a flying disc at a base called S4, that the craft was powered by an antimatter reactor and generated its own gravity. To Tavernetti's surprise, Lazar passed.
My personal thoughts, the pre-test interview of 3.5 hours, the test itself, the post-test interview showed absolutely nothing to deter my thought that Bob Lazar was truthful.
Tavernetti wasn't a UFO guy, had never polygraphed anyone about that issue, had no core beliefs either way. But 30 years later, he recalls what was going through his mind during the test, as it appeared Lazar was being truthful.
Is it occurring to you, holy crap, this guy could be telling the truth, this all could be real?
Oh yeah, when that time comes. That is unbelievable.
After the first news story aired about Tavernetti's test, two strange things happened. The first is he was called on the carpet by his employer because of a phone call from an unnamed federal agency.
The corporate offices where I'm employed received a telephone call from a government agency wanting to know why I was getting involved in something that I shouldn't be. And I asked, well, what agency? What was said? Did they identify themselves? And
he never learned which agency had called. There was an internal investigation by his employer, but Tavernetti was not disciplined. The second thing to happen, 2 months after the story aired, is there was a break-in at his home.
And these are the charts.
Huh?
These are the charts.
Those are the actual charts.
Yeah. Did somebody try to steal these from you? Was there a break-in? Somebody tried to come and get them from you?
You know, right off the bat, I want to say yes.
But Tavernetti had made copies of the Lazar charts. He shared them with colleagues to see if they agreed with his opinion. Two of them did. One suggested there should be more testing. Tabernetti admits polygraphs are not foolproof, but they are widely used by police and employers as useful tools. He doesn't regret getting drawn into the Bob Lazar saga and says the experience caused a permanent change in how he views the UFO question.
Over the years, my belief has swayed that way. It gets to the point now where I go, well, why not?
Is it because of that?
Oh, yeah.
George Knapp, 8 News Now.
So a lot of people have forgotten about that, too, especially people like Jimmy Church, and that who say they don't believe Bob Lazar for whatever stupid reason they came up with. They listen to one skeptic for whatever reason they believe them, and now actual evidence just goes out the window. Yep, that's the world we live in. All right, just going to go check in with the chat room. A monster anomaly, the clip on A. Ah, yes, okay. So let's go visit. Yeah, so people listening, we got a good crowd. Once again, still on Talk Drive Reset, and they're still there, so that's cool. And we've got, you come down here, there's Mechanic, hey Mechanic, Trucker Gerald. See, a lot of the hosts and management are in here at any given time. Mr. Rowe, how's it going, buddy? So we actually hang out with our chatters as well. You can come down to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, sign up, put down your name, because most of the guys, Mechanic, he goes by his name for his show. Mr. Rowe is Mr. Rowe on his show. Pat Rabbit, he goes by Pat Rabbit on his show. I don't go by my name. My name's Factor Theory in here, but that's only because they didn't give me enough letters to put Factor Theory Live. But anyway, here we go. Yeah, we've got Flippy Mechanic, Trucker Gerald. Those are both hosts. We got Bo Diddly Tang, You See Me, Jesse, Mark, Kiwism, Poof, Batsman, Cat Dog Girl, Ames Marie, Grog, Up, Mr. Rowe, SJ, Dry Flag Guy. How's it going, guys? Eagle Flower, May Street 139, Monster 383, Zippy 101. Man, I got to put some numbers behind my name. Doc Who, Jimmy Jean, how's it going, buddy? Jimmy's another host here. Stardust Man, Fight, Comet, Festus B, Nessomania, Not Much to It, Sig Run, Wally, Jer Bear, hey, buddy. Siri Sunflower, it looks like she's still online. How's it going, Sunshine? Mr. Rowe, Dirt Engineer. I believe Dirt Engineer is a host, too. Yeah. Popsicle Toes and Pat Rabbit. And how do I get out of here? Oh, you click on back to chat. So, yeah, you come down here, and then you can go up top. And at the nav bar, it's got home schedule, archives. You can check out your favorite shows, contact, store. You can go to the store if we need you to donate. But if you can't donate, you want something for your money, go to Zazzle.ca or Zazzle.com. And get yourself a t-shirt. I like this one right here. You'll be able to see it in the video when I post it, if I get the chance, if the video works this week. Last week it did not work for some stupid reason. And I've got coffee cups and t-shirts and mouse pads and all kinds of good stuff in here. And we still got him to fix that typo. Matt, it says Revolution Radio, weaponized talk radio. So, yeah, you know what? We'll be back after this break, and we'll be getting into some funny shit.
This music is so active.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Revolution, Revolution Radio. Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat masses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Get it done.
Revolution Radio. Where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com. Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Aldonova Fantasy. Love that flippin' tune. Yeah, so before the break, I actually played a clip I was supposed to play after the break. I got this. Just end up seeing the video later. You'll see the way I have things lined up for the show. And you'll also see I'm not wearing my glasses, and I really should be, because I put things in the wrong order for myself. So, yeah, okay. So like I said, I was planning on doing a lot of just rant and ramble tonight with a few clips. But I've got these here. My ears are ringing. The headache, I just felt a little pop in the back. you know, that soft pot spot in the back of your head, just above your spine and just below your scalp or your skull, right in that little, there was a little pop in there, and so all of a sudden the headache's breaking, which is cool, but the tinnitus is still rocking me. So I got two of my buddy JP Spears clips here, and I'm gonna play this one first. This guy, when he first come out, you know, I had this, like most people, I was like, is this dude gay or is he for real or is what, you know, what's going on with this dude? But I finally got in on the joke, and it's just the, as time's gone by, especially during the lockdown, since that all happened, because he's a stand-up comedian too. So he used to be out doing a lot of shows and stuff. Now he's had a lot of time spending at home and check out a lot of these conspiracies and stuff that we talk about here at this network, revolution.radio. Oh, and I forgot to mention, that's right. If you do go to the website, freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, you can also scroll down and become a patron on Patreon. I've been forgetting to say that the last couple of weeks. Luckily, I've still got the cursor set here. Okay, so back to JP. This is one of them. This is his take on the Hollywood elite, communist elite. J.P. Spears.
Hi, it's Hollywood. We negatively influence your mind with our woke Hollywood virtues while you think you're being positively influenced. We're in the business of controlling what you think because we want to turn you into a communist. More on that later. Plato once said, those who tell the stories rule society. So those who want to rule society have us tell their stories to you, so you can be ruled over. In Hollywood, we insist on diversity, which means everyone must think the same, but look different, except still be beautiful, which really means everyone has to look the same too. While we have no actual diversity, we insist on woke virtue signaling diversity. Not because we're good people, but because we want you to think we're good people. That's how we manipulate you. People that virtue signal aren't good people. That's why we have to virtue signal. Hollywood diversity is great! It's probably just a coincidence that everyone in Hollywood is on the left. People who want to work in Hollywood that aren't on the radical left know they need to pretend they're on the left, or else they'll never work in this town. And it's easy for them to pretend because they're fake people. That's why they fit in so well with us. But when someone has a different perspective than what's on the woke Hollywood script, we cancel them. Like Gina Carano. Not only does she not fit into Hollywood because she's capable of thinking for herself, but also because she's a good person. And that makes our facade of looking like good people look bad. So we kicked her out, and then we spun the story to make her look bad. Because in Hollywood, we're bad people. With our woke Hollywood agenda, we think you're dumb enough to believe that a population riddled with drug addiction, greed, fame obsession, and soullessness are good, happy people, and you should try to be like them. Wow, that'd be like taking financial advice from a broke person, which is a good idea. So Hollywood inspires you to live a better life. And who's the best inspiration for becoming stronger, following your heart, and being true to yourself? Fake people. Actors are fake people who act like other people who then emotionally connect with real people. You. But they're fake enough that they're literally called actors. So you should trust them. And they're also who you should look to for guidance. For example, like when Californians aren't listening to California's least trustworthy man, the man who's responsible for destroying small businesses and might be responsible for more deaths of despair than anyone else in California's history, what do? Bring in Hollywood's most trusted man to have Newsom on his Instagram Live to tell you and the rest of his 200 million followers that you should trust him. And he even praises Newsom's leadership.
I appreciate your leadership.
A tremendous leader and super accountable, Rock. And now Newsom's being recalled because of his abusiveness. Thank you for the trustworthy endorsement, Hollywood. In Hollywood, we use your idols so we can manipulate you. Here in Hollywood, we don't want you thinking for yourself, because then you're not controllable. So we inject thinking into you through your eyes and ears. Would you just let someone inject you with soul-crushing mind control? Probably not. But you would if the needle looked like this, and especially if the needle had explosions behind him. I love beautiful-looking charismatic needles that are filled with what we put in them, And you do too. Some people ask, shows like Saturday Night Live used to be funny. How come they're not anymore? Because Hollywood's comedy isn't based on truth anymore. It's based on controlling the narrative. An agenda of control squeezes the truth right out. And if you don't have truth, you don't have actual comedy. Would you like to become a much weaker person while you think you're becoming a stronger person? Hollywood will help you do it. You also want to learn how to perceive strength, bravery, and sovereignty as weaknesses? Hollywood will help you with that, too. Is the woke Hollywood agenda synonymous with communism? Yes. Here's a fact. The Chinese Communist Party funds a massive amount of Hollywood. And they also fund genocide. They're very dedicated communists, those ones. Remember how back in 1947, Congress investigated communists in Hollywood? They made arrests? Did they really need to do that? Sure did! Communists knew they could use Hollywood to influence the minds of American people to accept communism without knowing they were accepting communism. You see, today, we take painstaking efforts to help you not see how communism has taken over Hollywood. We let you think that a few unquestionably good causes is what we really stand for, like fighting climate change and racial equality. We get you to agree with those, and you do, because you're a good person, which then tricks you into supporting all the little communism causes that we hide behind them. Because we're deceptive people. Not being able to recognize communism is how we get you to think like one, and then be one, and then eventually live in a communist country, which will be yours if you keep watching us. Why be soulful when you can be like us? Those who control the stories rule society, and we enjoy ruling over you. Trust us, and please keep watching. We entertain you while we entrain you. Hollywood!
I've seen that at least 3 times, well, probably 4 times just today, and I still laugh out loud and giggle like a little girl every friggin' time. That's priceless. And if you haven't seen that video, and Mona shares a lot of his stuff too in our chat. Mona Radler's another host here, and the Feral Hippie. And dude is just bang on. Let's face it, there's a lot of quote-unquote woke snowflakes out there. At this point, they've been wearing masks so long that they would believe what the buddies like on the left, and he's on their side, and they wouldn't realize he's being sarcastic. Here's the last one of I know there's some people, for some reason, they get triggered when JP comes on. I don't understand why. The guy's freaking hilarious. But here's the last one for the night. And in this one, well, I'll just let it speak for itself. But once again, better do the... See, now I got to go to a psychiatrist and get him to help me with my problem with every time I think the sky's going to shut down on me, Doc. What do I do?
Good evening. You can't see the cage we have you in, so you think you're free. Here are today's top stories to strengthen your cage. All-time favorite children's toy, Mr. Potato Head, is getting his junk sliced off. Hasbro announced they're changing the name from Mr. Potato Head to the gender-neutral name of Potato Head, which is sure to be offensive to the decapitated community. Pretending there aren't any genders has become a popular way for Marxists to be more inclusive to all genders. But more importantly, Hasbro's neutering of Mr. Potato Head is expected to be a powerful way of being more inclusive to dumb people. Coca-Cola is getting rave reviews for their anti-racist training. In it, they advise their employees, try to be less white. In their training, Coca-Cola, Americans' favorite thing to use to give themselves type 2 diabetes, sought to reduce racism by using racism, which seems effective, as two wrongs always equal a right. For some reason, though, Coke telling people, try to be less white, now has people telling Coke, try to be less stupid. President Biden's nominee for Assistant Secretary of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine, a transgender woman, is coming under fire. There's concern that Rachel will push a very progressive, and therefore beautiful, agenda of allowing the government to provide children with puberty blockers and surgical sex change surgery. even without their parents' consent. Accordingly, during a hearing, Senator Rand Paul had a very simple line of questioning for the good doctor, which was, Dr. Levine, you have supported both allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex? Dr. Levine, who apparently doesn't understand English, refused to answer the question twice. Predictably, the mainstream media has attacked Senator Rand Paul, calling him transphobic. Apparently, the senator didn't get the memo that nuanced thought, questioning, and standing up for the well-being of children who can't stand up for themselves is hate speech. And I agree. Not only should the government be able to give children hormone blockers and surgically alter their genitals without their parents' consent, I think they should be able to do it without the child's consent either. That'd be more progressive, wouldn't it? I remember being a child. When I was 5 years old, I was absolutely certain that I was Batman. But because I had abusive parents, they didn't allow me to get superhero reassignment surgery, which would have permanently altered me for the rest of my life based on what made sense to me at 5. Now, as I'm 39 years old, I'm obviously still certain that I'm Batman. I just wish there would have been a government back then that would have protected me from my parents protecting me from my 5-year-old brain. This just in! We should also allow children to drive cars because some children want to, and allowing them to do so would be a progressive way to provide them with a safe space to be a danger to themselves. In a new twist of events, President Biden signed an executive order, this one allowing the U.S. to fund global abortions. This comes a week after Biden endorsed the Chinese Communist Party's genocide against the Uyghurs, which includes murder, rape, torture, forced sterilizations, and forced abortions. We can't wait for his next executive order and what kind of help it'll inflict on society. Oh, it's already happened. Biden signed an executive order giving the Chinese Communist Party access to the U.S.'s power grid. Seems like it would have been xenophobic not to. This just in! Biden's approval ratings are at an all-time high in China. After President Biden and his boss Kamala Harris relentlessly criticized Donald Trump for keeping kids in cages that Biden and Obama built, they're now keeping kids in those same cages. However, unlike how the cages were cages under the Trump administration, Biden and Harris have helped the cages undergo cage identity reassignment surgery, as Biden and Harris now identify the cages as temporary structures and overflow camps. And for the conspiracy theorists full of misinformation who mistakenly think Biden and Harris are hypocrites and dishonest, Daily Wire contributor Cabot Phillips made this flowchart to help you determine if a kid is in a cage or not. In Nigeria, 317 girls were kidnapped overnight from a boarding school during a heavily armed raid. It's feared the girls will be sold into sex slavery. Meanwhile, in the U.S., President Biden eliminated Trump's Operation Talon, a program that targets sex offenders illegally living in the U.S. Biden came under fire for his decision that he may or may not remember. And for the critics, in addition to all of them being racist, they're also not being inclusive to the sex offender community that identifies as wanting to sexually violate your children. Shame on you, critics. New York mob boss Governor Andrew Cuomo has been hit with sexual harassment allegations from a former staff member in his administration. And now he's facing sexual harassment allegations from a second woman, too. Cuomo, the man who Biden has called the gold standard in COVID leadership, is also being investigated for lying about and covering up nearly 1,900 nursing home deaths caused by his gold standard in COVID leadership. President Biden visited Texas to survey the damage caused by the devastating winter storm. Biden, who now wears two masks that are different colors, so you'll see that he's wearing two masks, arrived in Texas in the nick of time, 12 days after the winter storm began. While he visited, it was 80 degrees, which allowed him to get an accurate assessment of the winter storm. During his visit, the number of people wearing masks in Texas surged to 1. And after Biden left Texas, things in the state were exactly the same as before he arrived. After many promises of diplomacy and not war, The team of people, who probably wear hoods that run President Biden, had President Biden bomb the sovereign nation of Syria this week. And he did it without congressional approval, which is normally a big no-no and illegal. But Joe Executive Order Biden doesn't need anyone's approval. He doesn't have it anymore either. So he went ahead and did it. Joe's bombing took out an Iranian-based militia group that many say posed no threat to the U.S. and was also involved in fighting ISIS. When asked about the bombing, President Biden explained it as, "It's like fireworks, but at people." In other news, 30 House Democrats are asking Biden to give up his sole control of the nuclear codes. I wonder why his own party would be asking him to do that.
I don't know.
BLM, an organization dedicated to pretending to care about Black Lives Mattering, has removed language from its website about how they're trying to disrupt the nuclear family. The organization likely believes that hiding this goal of theirs from their website will keep people from knowing what they're trying to do. The founders of the BLM organization have stated they are trained Marxists. Marxism is an evil philosophy that's basically racism against the whole human race. Marxism has an aim of destroying free society in order to usher in communism. Primary objectives that Marxists seek to accomplish in order to give rise to communism are destroying the family unit and getting people to no longer believe objective truth. This just in! There's no biological difference between men and women. This just in! Math is canceled because it's racist. This just in! Being obese is healthy now. And if you believe us, then you can no longer trust yourself to determine what's true for you. You'll need to continue looking to us to tell you what's true for you. And now, as we conclude today's news report, your cage is stronger than ever. Good night.
This just in. I love this freaking guy. Oh, man. And, you know, everything, everything there, actually, it was, who was it? It wasn't Tucker. Gee, see, that's what happens when you get stoned. And I have to, major pain even with it, but takes the edge off. Because you forget the names. Mind you, the head injury can help with that, too. Oh, well, you know what? It couldn't have been that important. I remember it, right? Okay, we got 10:52. And that's right. Close this off. So after the break... Where is it? There it is. Wake Up America. There was this video that I had seen earlier today that was Dr. John. Oh, Jesus. Now it's because I've got my thing on it, but it's not bringing up the guy's name. It's on here. Well, you know what? I'll just play it after the break. But it's something, I believe it was Mona shared it earlier. It was either Mona or Bridget or both had shared it. Pretty sure Mona. And, this dude, it's about the Council of 300. And this dude was inadvertently into it. I got to find, I'm trying to track him down. He somehow got himself wrapped up in it and knew some of the people. And it's just a really, I didn't want to watch all, I watched about 20 to 30 minutes of it just to make sure it was cool and it wasn't going to have a bunch of F-bombs in it. And I wound up finding a very clear version of it. So to take us into that, what was the, I had a song specially picked, but I forgot to pull it out. So now I'll just grab the first one I see here. It's probably going to be one that is, yeah, okay. This is one I've never gotten to play. This is me and my old band, Last Laugh. This was when we first went to the studio. Now, anybody who's listened knows I've played that live clip of me with this band doing a song called Twisted, and that wasn't bad. But then I had played a clip of this song of us playing it back then. It was when we first wrote it. This was the almost finished product called Free and Easy. We'll be right back.
Of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Soul Asylum, Somebody to Shove. Another great band, great tune. I believe that singer died of cancer, I say as I just lit up a cigarette. I don't know what I'm going to learn, man. I don't know what it's going to take. It's going to take a death sentence. Doctor going to say, okay, dude, now even chemo wouldn't help you. Not that chemo would help anyway, in my opinion. Now, then again, that being said, next week, kind of a Facebook friend of friend, played the same places. I'm nowhere on this guy's caliber, though. I've played his songs before on this station for the Phil and John show. I believe it's Johnny Rogers is his buddy's name, and he used to be in a band called Brighton Rock. He's now the lead singer, once again, for the brand new version of Talus, version 2. With bass player, singer extraordinaire Billy Sheehan on the four strings. Just like, wow. I can't wait for that to come out. So anyway, I was talking to Phil the other day, and he is, as far as we know, going to be on next week. And I bring him up because he had throat cancer. He had tumor. And we'll probably get into that. We are going to get into that when we talk, because he had radiation treatment. Now, it worked for his throat, but it also caused a great deal of damage to parts of his body, and he had burns and the whole shebang. So hopefully it's going to work out for him. He'll get on a healthy regimen that can help repair some of the damage, but otherwise, hopefully he gets a good 20 years. You know, that hell, I'm 50 now, and with my health issues, I'll be lucky I get another 10. But Phil's also right into all this stuff.
And I was quite surprised to find out. I wouldn't call him a conservative. He's much more like myself. He's in the middle, you know. He's one of those guys that both sides have great ideas. Pretty much all politicians have some great ideas, whether they've been, they're their ideas or they were given to them by somebody else. The problem is they keep feeding us all the bullshit along with it, right? So what are we supposed to do with that? And that's the kind of thing I want to talk about with Phil next week. Now, I know I said I was going to play a clip, but I was looking at the time of it, and it's pretty long comparatively to what I've got available. It's Dr. John Coleman, and I believe it was Mona that shared it. And it's Wake Up America, and it's about the Council of 300, and I am going to play that on next, not next week, the week after, because unless Phil, for whatever reason, is feeling ill or gets busy with the band or, you know, wins the lottery or gets called by the RCMP and says, stay off that Steve Crawford guy's show, because that's happened. I had a buddy of mine that's singer for Jakey Lee's band now. He's the drummer for Harem Scarum as well, Darren James Smith. Whether or not Darren remembers it or not, but he had told me that, and I may even still have the text on my phone, that a friend of his who worked for the RCMP, and this was years ago, like this was 4 years ago at least, 3 or 4 years ago, and he told me a friend of his, or somebody who he knew, was an RCMP officer, and they asked him, they were asking him about me. And I, this was probably before the very first visit, or no, it would have been just after the first visit. Yeah, that would make sense now that I'm thinking of it. Would have been after the first time the two cops showed up and tried, pulled out the laptop, showing me my Twitter and YouTube posts and Facebook posts. The one I remember specifically, actually, the one that really pissed them off was when the cops were going nuts there a few years back and just killing everybody and their dogs. They would just walk up on people's property, call the dog. There was a video of a cop walking up, calling the dog over to the fence and killing the thing. Like the dog walks up with his tail. Like I'm getting pissed off thinking about it. You know, so I think the one I had commented on was a cop had killed somebody who was trying to wave them down or something. And my comment was, if I ever saw a quote unquote criminal cop breaking the law and committing an act like that, trying to kill somebody, I would grab the biggest, closest, heaviest thing I could and smash him in the head with it. And that was why they sent the police. American cops called the RCMP, and they sent two guys to my place. These guys looked like they were maybe 30, and the one guy looked like Baby Huey. You remember that old cartoon, that duck, Baby Huey? The guy reminded me, their tough guy faces were hilarious. And I did have, at that time, my old digital recorder, and the file was still on it. I wound up having to sell it when I was broke, but I had just around the corner inside the recorder playing, recording everything they were saying. And they were, you know, oh, so you're a computer tough guy, eh? An internet tough guy. And they were trying to goad me into a fight to take a swing at them. It was priceless. And by the end of it, I put my hand out to shake the guy's hand, and he looks down at my hand, and then he shakes it, and he's like, you better not, you better hope I don't have to come back here. Yeah, you better hope I don't have to come back here. And I think it was the next day after I'd slept on it and just replayed the whole situation in my head. I started laughing my ass off and got online and did a video knowing that they'd be watching my stuff, and came out with a video telling them the laws about things that were going on, and that I would love for them to come. Like I was goading them on
very angry at the world at that point, but I had every right to be. They were, you know, they were trying to pull, what was it they were saying? They were trying to blame me, say I was, it was hate speech. And they were their brothers and sisters and stuff. And like, well, you know, if you stick up for these criminals who kill a guy, one guy, one cop shot out his cruiser window trying to shoot at a guy who was just walking fast. And when asked why he did that, he said the guy was walking with a purpose. I mean, come on, really? How stupid do you have to be a cop these days? That's my question to you officers, any officer who may be listening. Okay. One cop, this guy that gets a big heart on when he's saying it too. There's this video out. He's like, yeah, don't try to say that you pay my wages because I pay taxes too, which means I pay my own wages. And it's like, well, listen here, copper. What is it you're using to pay your taxes? Are you using money given to you from us? So doesn't that technically mean that we're paying your taxes too? So you can get off your little high horse there, loser. Cops, you could use that to shut down any cop who wants to try that shit right off the hop. Go, no, you know what? I pay your taxes. You don't. These people, these politicians and these cops need to realize they serve us. We pay their bills. We pay their salaries. They serve us. And considering all the shutdowns and lockdowns, shouldn't their expenses be cut hell at least in half? Like, why do they need an office now? They can do all this stuff from home. They can have an extra line put in and do all – they can help hold Parliament and Congress and everything can be done around the world over Zoom or Skype. We know that because they have done it. So why do we need to spend money on all of these buildings that we're not allowed to go to anymore? Like, in that budget that they put out, everybody in the state's got 1,400, but it was written up as you were getting 40,000 for tax purposes. They write it down to balance their books, and then they keep all that money to pay off their debts. That's what Pelosi used a big chunk to pay off her district's debts. Didn't they do that for and Schumer as well? Right? So, and they're doing it in our faces. They're doing it in everybody's faces. So people on the left, especially the ones who actually have jobs and own their own homes and stuff, like, if you're that dumb and you really believe all that, so, well, then you know what? I'm poor and I'm being I'm a refugee in my own country from my country. So give me some money. Hook me up. You move out of your nice million-dollar house. And I'll move in. Okay? Sounds good to me. Right? That's fair. Now, actually, before I get into this one, I got to go to the schedule here to make sure I give credit where credit is due. It's something I wanted to do a while ago, but did not. And thankfully, just before I came on, Frank Allen had brought it up on his show, the Allen Institute on Studio B, which is also a good show you guys should listen to. And Why Not and Scott are on Studio B right now. But he started getting into the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And it was drafted, I believe, originally by a Canadian as well. And there are things, like, just, there's 30 here in this thing I'm looking at. Sorry, I had to get a drink. It's stupid dry in here. Just so many of the things in here. You watch videos from like the 80s and 90s and even the 60s and 70s, and they're talking about they're taking away our rights and stuff. It's a lot of us do understand, especially now. I didn't until really fully until I started at this station. It was great being exposed to a lot of the different hosts and their different styles and what they brought to the table, because obviously there was a lot of stuff I didn't know that I'm glad I have found out since. And a lot of these things that are listed here are things that have already gone by the wayside. Okay, preamble. Do I even want to get into
to the preamble. Let me quickly skim it here to see if it seems essential to this conversation. Okay, well, this part anyway. Where it is essential, if man is not to be compelled to have recourse as a last resort to rebellion against tyranny and oppression, that human rights should be protected by the rule of law. Where it is essential to promote the development of friendly relations between nations. Actually, yeah, this is just the preamble, and it just goes down a little bit more. Okay, so here's Article 1. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They're endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in the spirit of brotherhood. And right off the hop. Is that what's going on today? I don't think so. Article 2. Everyone is entitled to all the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration, without distinction of any kind, such as race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth, or other status. Furthermore, no distinction shall be made on the basis of political, jurisdictional, or international status of the country or territory to which a person belongs, whether it be independent, trust, non-self-governing, or under any other limitation of sovereignty. That, you know, gone, right? That's what they're attacking right now. Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and the security of person. Really? Have we not been told if we try to defend ourselves and our property that we're racists and we should just let the rioters kill us? Right? That's what I was getting from everything I've seen on Twitter and coming out of mainstream news. Article 4, no one shall be held in slavery or servitude. Slavery and the slave trade shall be prohibited in all their forms. What's going on in China? Well, they're not part of the UN, are they? Did they leave? I don't even know anymore. Mandela effect. Article 5. No one shall be subjected to torture or to cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment or punishment. We get that nonstop from Twitter. Article 6. Everyone has the right to recognition everywhere as a person before the law. Not on Twitter or Facebook. Article 7. All are equal before the law and are entitled without any discrimination to equal protection of the law. All are entitled to equal protection against any discrimination in violation of this declaration and against any incitement to such discrimination. Hello? Article 8. Everyone has the right to an effective remedy by the competent national tribunals for acts violating the fundamental rights granted him by the Constitution or by law. My Lord, why is nothing being done yet, right? Why? Because all the judges are leftists too. Article 9, no one shall be subjected to arbitrary arrest, detention, or exile. Well, I've got a video of the night I was arrested. They took me, just tried to scare me, took me down. It was like 11:30 at night. I was in my pajamas, barefoot, and they decided to arrest me for hate speech against the police. You guys, you know, it's a job. It's not your family. You're not a race. It's a job, like at McDonald's. You think the people at McDonald's actually go home and hey, my family at work? No. Get over it. Article 10, everyone is entitled to full equality to a fair and public hearing by an independent and impartial tribunal. What the hell just happened to Trump, right, with that bullshit impeachment? In the determination of his rights and obligations and of any criminal charge against him. Like, it's as if they said, what can we do to screw over Trump? Well, let's take a look at the Universal Charter of Human Rights.
And they ticked off the list and went out and did every single thing and committed it against not just America and Trump, but the entire world, because they're all in league. Article 11, Part 1. Everyone charged with a penal offense has the right to be presumed innocent until proved guilty, according to law, in a public trial at which he had all the guarantees necessary for his defense. Once again, back to the latest Trump fiasco in court, right? 2. No one shall be held guilty of any penal offense on account of any act or omission which did not constitute a penal offense under national or international law at the time when it was committed, nor shall a heavier penalty be imposed than the one that was applicable at the time the penal offense was committed. Nancy, Chuck, are you listening? Article 12, no one shall be subjected to the arbitrary interference with his privacy, family, home, or correspondence, nor to attacks upon his honor or reputation. Everyone has a right to the protection of the law against such interference or attacks. Do you get that, Google, YouTube? Article 13, 1. Everybody has the right to freedom of movement and residence. Freedom of movement and residence within the borders of each state. Number two, everyone has the right to leave any country, including his own, and to return to his country. Do you get that, Trudeau? Justine's being a naughty bitch these days. Article 14, Part 1. Everyone has the right to seek and to enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. That's the only one they seem to be invoking here, okay? This right may not be invoked in the case of persecutions genuinely arising from non-political crimes or from acts contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. That's the only – Article 14 is the only one they're going on, and they're basing everything they do on Article 14 from what I can surmise. Article 15 – did I say Article 15 there before? Article 14. So now, Article 15, Part 1. Everyone has the right to a nationality. Part 2. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of his nationality, his or her. They're not very gender inclusive here. Nor denied the right to change his nationality. Article 16, Part 1. Men and women of full age, without any limitation due to race, nationality, or religion, have the right to marry and to found a family. They are entitled to equal rights as marriage, during marriage, and at its dissolution. Now, so this would be part of the gay rights, right? And I believe they should have that stuff. The ones that aren't sexual deviants and pedophiles, yeah. Part 2. Marriage shall be entered into only with the free and full consent of the intending spouses. Can you say child bride? 3. The family is the natural and fundamental group unit of society and is entitled to protection by society and the state. Article 17, Part 1. Everyone has the right to own property alone as well as in association with others. Part 2. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of his property. Sorry about the pauses here. I'm just thinking about how that pertains to everything that goes on with YouTube and the way that they like to screw over me and Revolution Radio. They took down a bunch of stuff from them as well. Like Article 18, everyone has the right to freedom of thought. Do you guys hear that, all you on Facebook? Everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right includes freedom to change his religion or belief, and freedom, either alone or in community with others and in public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance. Sounds fair to me, but they should all be taxed. Article 19. Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes the freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media, regardless of frontiers. I'm thinking we should be putting together a lawsuit and just bring this bad boy with us, right? You know, get the free speech stations. How many are there? Not very many, right? And all the hosts and everybody who's been messed up by YouTube and Twitter like I have. Article 20, everyone has the right to freedom of peaceful assembly and association. No one may be compelled to belong to an association. In other words, they can't say kneel. And everyone has the right, including white racists, just as much as the black racists of BLM. Article 21, Part 1. Everyone has the right to take part in the government of his country, directly or through freely chosen representatives. Part 2. Everybody has the right to equal access to public service in his country. Part 3. The will of the people shall be the basis of authority of government. The will of the people shall be the basis of the authority of government, not the other way around. You serve us. This will shall be expressed in periodic and genuine elections, which shall be by universal and equal suffrage, and shall be held by secret vote or by equivalent free voting procedures. Article 22. There are 30, so bear with me. I should think by now anybody who listens to the station and is listening to this show should know. Yeah, I want to hear this stuff, Steve. Article 22. Everyone is a member of society, has the right to Social Security and is entitled to realization through national effort and international cooperation, and in accordance with the organization and resources of each state, of the economic, social, and cultural rights indispensable for his dignity and the free development of his personality. That was Article 22, in case I didn't mention it. Article 23.1, everyone has the right to work, to free choice of employment, to just and favorable work conditions, and to protection against unemployment. Part 2, everyone without any discrimination has the right to equal pay for equal work, period. Equal pay for equal work, regardless of race or gender. Why is that so hard? Like, you know, the mind boggles. Part 3, everyone who works has the right to just and favorable remuneration, ensuring for himself and his family an existence worthy of human dignity and supplemented, if necessary, by other means of social protection. Part 4, everyone has the right to form, to join trade unions for the protection of his interests. Article 24. Everyone has the right to rest and leisure, including reasonable limitation of working hours and periodic holidays with pay. Article 25, Part 1. Everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for health and well-being of himself and of his family, including food, clothing, housing, and medical care, and necessary social services, as well as the right to security in the event of unemployment, sickness, disability, widowhood, old age, or other lack of livelihood in circumstances beyond his control. His or her, once again, not gender neutral. Article 25, Part 2, motherhood and childhood are entitled to special care and assistance. All children, whether born in or out of wedlock, shall enjoy the same social protection. We're not seeing that, are we? It seems to be only refugee children and children in other countries are being looked after. The ones in this country are allowed to be sold for sex slaves and adrenochrome. Article 26, Part 1. Everybody has the right to education. Education shall be free, at least in the elementary and fundamental stages. Elementary education shall be compulsory. Technical and professional education shall be made generally available, and higher education shall be equally accessible to all on the basis of merit. Not if you don't have money, right? Article 26, Part 2, education shall be directed to the full development of the human personality and to the strengthening of respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms. It shall promote understanding, tolerance, and friendship among all nations, racial or religious groups, and shall further the activities of the United Nations for the maintenance of peace. Part 3, parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their child. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly would have been telling them to teach my kids about Tesla and Gaia and how to farm and grow, home ec. Like, these are all things that, with this shop class, these are all gone now. Article 27. Part 1. Everybody has the right to freely participate in the culture life of the community, to enjoy the arts, and to share in scientific advancement and its benefits. Part 2. Everybody has the right to the protection of the moral and material interests resulting from any scientific, literary, or artistic production of which he is the author. Article 28. Everyone is entitled to a social and international order in which the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration can be fully realized. Article 29, Part 1. Everyone has the duties of the community in which alone the free and full development of his personality is possible. Part 2. In the exercise of his or her rights and freedoms, everyone shall be subject only to such limitations as are determined by law, solely for the purpose of securing due recognition and respect for the rights and freedoms of others, and of meeting the just requirements of morality, public order, and the general welfare in a democratic society. Part 3. These rights and freedoms may in no case be exercised contrary to the purpose and principles of the United Nations. Article 30, the last one. Nothing in this declaration may be interpreted as implying for any state, group, or person any right to engage in any activity or to perform any act aimed at the destruction of any of the rights and freedoms set forth herein. Hello, Democratic Party. Right? That's all they've done. They've attacked every single article on here except for, what was it, Article 14? Let me get back up here. Yes, Article 14, Part 1, everyone has the right to seek and enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. Right? They get to come here and persecute us. Just friggin' wow. Bring this down. Okie doke. So, there you have it. We're being reamed, folks, big time, by all our governments. No one worse than Canadians right now, because at least you Americans still get to have your guns. These pricks went and took our gun rights away from us at the beginning of the pandemic when nobody was allowed to go out and protest. And then they made it look like protesters are rioters. And rioters are protesters. Just like people are cash and cash are people. Man. All right, so I'm going to get back to the UFO side of things for a little bit here. I found a clip today that was actually pretty neat. It shows that it's from Gaia, but it's some new stuff about Roswell. And I just added Jesse Marcel the third the other day on my Facebook, and we're hopefully going to get together soon on this show. So here is this clip. I think it's pretty cool.
Due to the historical significance of extraterrestrial research, first-hand testimonials were made public by the Sci-Fi TV network. Because these important witnesses have died, Sci-Fi gave us permission to present them in our Nuevo video programs. Our first comments come from Lieutenant Jack Trowbridge, who had the chance to see firsthand the remains recovered by the Lieutenant of Military Intelligence, Jesse Marcel.
My name is Jack Trowbridge, and I was assigned to Roswell in April of 1947. I was further assigned into intelligence with Jesse Marcel, who was the head of intelligence, a major. I was a first lieutenant. We're having bridge at Major Marcel's home. And he was there in a basket. My wife was there, and all of intelligence was there playing bridge, except Jesse. And he was out with a pickup gathering this junk in the debris field, okay? So when he came in, it was fairly late, I believe, and we broke up the bridge game then to go out and see what Jesse had brought in. And it was a great interest. It was aluminum in appearance. There were fragments of aircraft skin or whatever the thing was, and also some girders with pictures of hieroglyphic-like things on it. I took them to be owls, but who knows? Anyhow, it was interesting. I did get to handle the material, and the material had some peculiar properties. For instance, it looked like Hershey bar wrappings, but you squeeze it up in your hand as hard as you could, let go, and it returned originally to the original shape instantly. Then the next day, Jesse brought some of the stuff into the intelligence office. And so we looked at it and played with it a while, and then everybody went back to work. Later that day, boom, nobody knows anything, either shut up, nothing happened, etc. And when you're in the service, you do what they say to you. Major Marcel was called up to Fort Worth to show the press what he found. Well, what he had to show the press was really a weather balloon. This stuff was not a weather balloon, what he brought back. So he was forced to lie to the press, shall we say. I don't think he was too happy about it, but you do what you're told again. You're in the service. You followed orders. And they were afraid of the American public panicking with this knowledge. I don't think that would have happened, but hey, the word came down from up above and you do what it says.
Pat Bush was Miriam Bush's sister-in-law, the nurse who had viewed the bodies of the dead aliens. Pat said she received death threats because of what she knew, and in the end, she died mysteriously. Her cause of death was never understood.
I'm Pat Bush, and I was married to George Bush, the brother of Miriam. Her name was Miriam Titus when I knew her. She worked at the hospital, at the base hospital. She was an executive secretary there, had a high security rating. The head of the hospital there came to her one evening or one afternoon and said, "I think there's something you would like to see." And he took her down to the surgical suite or whatever it was in the hospital where they had brought these beings. And they took her into the room and she saw them. They wouldn't let her get close to them, but she stood by the doorway and looked at them. As she was looking at them, one of them moved its middle finger on its hand. The hand moved. So it was, whatever it was living at that time. She went home that evening and she was excited about what she had seen, and she sat at the dinner table and told the family what she had seen and what they had told her had happened. And they were all interested and asked questions. And the next day when she came in from work, she was very somber, and she just told them, don't ever mention what I told you, and don't ever ask me anything about it. And she was very frightened. I felt very sorry for her, because she lived a very frightened life, because they had told her not to ever speak of it again, and what the consequences would be. And she was frightened her whole life long about it. She passed away in this unusual way, and we started kind of looking at things and talking to people and realizing that many of the other people that were involved in it had died mysterious deaths or disappearances. She was in a motel, and she was not registered at the motel under her name. It was registered under her sister's name, which is very strange. And her sister didn't know she was there. The authorities came in because it was the sister's name and address on the registration. They called her home. And then she knew that her sister had passed away. When the police came and everything, they said that it had to be a suicide, that the door was locked from inside, like nobody could lock the door from the inside. And, you know, it was all kind of, it just skimmed over the top of it. You know, they didn't go into any research, try to find out anything about her. It just, I just don't believe that she killed herself. I think somebody else did it. There was something that was being covered up, and evidently something important enough that they would kill to keep it a secret.
Families received word that their loved ones who would soon be on their deathbed wanted to talk. This was the case of Walter Hott, who passed away shortly after he shared information. Walter was in charge of reporting relevant facts on behalf of the Air Force. Hott was the one who wrote the controversial press release that circulated the world.
The story that I put out was very simple. It was what Colonel Blanchard said he wanted put into a press release. When the colonel tells the first lieutenant almost verbatim what he wants in a press release, guess what he gets? You don't argue with him and say, oh, I think it'd sound better if we said it this way or the next way. The answer to all was yes, sir.
So what exactly did the press release say?
In essence, it was very simple, to the effect that we had in our possession a flying saucer. It was found on a ranch up north of Roswell. It was being flown to General Ramey's office, that being the next higher command. That was the 8th Air Force, and that was the end of it. Pretty well orchestrated. I think the thought of handling it that way came down from Washington through channels, and we were told that we were all wrong, that it was just a weather balloon.
Shortly before his death, Walter Hott signed a declaration before a notary that was sealed and couldn't be opened until after his death. This is his textual statement that wasn't made public until after he died on December 15th, 2005. These are the words from the affidavit that Walter Hott signed on December 26, 2002. Witness Chris, Notary Beverly Morgan. My name is Walter G. Hott. I am now retired. In July 1947, I was stationed at the Roswell Army Air Base in Roswell, New Mexico, serving as the base public information officer. I had spent the 4th of July weekend at my private residence, about 10 miles north of the base, which was south of town. I was aware that someone had reported the remains of a downed vehicle by mid-morning after my return to duty at the base on July 7th. I was aware that Major Jesse Marcel, head of intelligence, was sent by the base commander, Colonel William Blanchard, to investigate. By late in the afternoon that same day, I would learn that additional civilian reports came in regarding a second site just north of Roswell. I would part of the day attending to my regular duties, hearing little, if anything, more. On Tuesday morning, July 8th, I would attend the regularly scheduled staff meeting at 7:30 a.m. In addition to Blanchard and Marcel, counterintelligence Captain Sheridan Cavett and others were in attendance. The main topic of discussion was reported by Marcel and Cavett regarding an extensive debris field in Lincoln County, approximately 75 miles northwest of Roswell. Blanchard indicated some brief details about the second site, located 40 miles north of town. Samples of the wreckage were passed around the table. Walter Hott said they did not resemble any material he had ever seen in his life. Pieces which resembled metal foil, thin but extremely strong material, and other pieces that had unusual markings along their length. All were touched and handled by each man. No one could identify the remains of the crash debris. One of the main concerns discussed at the meeting was whether to go public or not with the discovery. General Ramey proposed a plan which I believe originated with his bosses at the Pentagon. Attention needed to be diverted from the more important site north of town by acknowledging the other location. Too many civilians were already involved, and the press already was informed. I was not completely informed how this would be accomplished. At 9:30 a.m., Colonel Blanchard called me and dictated the press release of having in our possession a flying disc. I was to deliver the news release to radio stations and newspapers. By the time news had hit the wire, my office was inundated with phone calls, messages stacked up, and rather than deal with it, Colonel Blanchard suggested I go home. Before leaving the base, Colonel Blanchard took me personally to Building 84, a B-29 hangar located on the east side of the tarmac. Upon first approaching the building, I observed that it was under heavy guard, both outside and inside. Once inside, I was permitted from a safe distance to first observe the object just recovered north of town. It was approximately 12 to 15 feet in length, not quite as wide, about 6 feet high, and more of an egg shape. Lighting was poor, but its surface did appear metallic. No windows, portholes, wings, tail section, or landing gear were visible. Also from a distance, I was able to see a couple of bodies under a canvas tarpaulin. Only the heads extended beyond the covering, and I was not able to make out any features. The heads did appear larger than normal, and the contour of the canvas over the bodies suggested the size of a 10-year-old child. At a later date at Blanchard's office, he would extend his arm about 4 feet above the floor to indicate their height. I was informed of a temporary morgue set up to accommodate the recovered bodies. I was aware two separate teams would return to each site months later for periodic searches for any remaining evidence. I am convinced that what I personally observed was some type of craft and its crew from outer space.
This document, written by Walter Hott before a notary to be released after his death, has great implications, not only because he is convinced that the ship and the beings he saw were not of this world, because of it reveals the plan of the military to distract attention from the crash that occurred north of Roswell, where a full ship was recovered with at least 4 occupants, one of them alive.
It is unknown if this second ship was part of the one that crashed on the forest ranch of Mac Brazel, or if it was a second crash ship that was affected by radars in the area to protect the facilities of the Los Alamos plant, the only place in the world where atomic bombs were built during the 1940s. After publishing news in the local papers and attracting the attention of the media, the findings were later discredited, saying that it was a meteorological balloon that the military had launched for the first time as an experiment. This strategy continued when questioned about the extraterrestrial facts that were presented to the government. Regardless of the credible arguments and the evidence presented, even if the evidence was proven, they would continue to discredit it no matter how much weight it may have had. The media and public opinion immediately lost interest in the story about the aliens. While the entire world watched expectantly, General Roger Ramey presented the remains of a meteorological balloon bearing witness to Major Jesse Marcel's report. We know differently, that the ship and the extraterrestrial corpses from the site located to the north of the city were recovered in Roswell. However, in the same photographs taken at the time the remains of the balloon were presented to the media, General Ramey can be observed holding a document that today is known as Ramey's Memorandum. In that document, what is written can now be seen. And thanks to modern digitized analysis, two sentences have been deciphered, where one reads, "and the victims of the accident." In the second line, it says, "they will be sent in the saucer ship." Major Jesse Marcel remained silent until 1977. When he retired, he decided to talk about his own experience in an interview with a local TV station, Channel 55.
They took pictures, of course. They had a whole flock of microphones there. They wanted me they wanted some comments from me, but I wasn't at liberty to do that. So all I could do is keep my mouth shut. And General Ramey is the one who discussed or told the newspapers, I mean the newsmen, what it was and to forget about it. It was nothing more than a weather observation balloon. Of course, which we both knew differently.
On July 6th, Major Marcel, accompanied by Brazel and another person from the Army, went to the forest ranch, spent the night there, and on the morning of July 6th, arrived at the scene of the accident, where the crashed alien ship was.
The following morning, we went out to the site where the crash was, and what I saw, I couldn't believe there was so much of it. It was scattered over such a vast area. So we proceeded to pick up as much of the debris as we could, loaded in a wagon. We filled that up. It took us a good part of the day to do that, because it was such small fragments that we had to do a lot of picking. We found a piece of metal about a foot and a half to 2 feet wide and about 2 or 3 feet long. Felt like you had nothing in your hands. It wasn't any thicker than the foil out of a pack of cigarettes. But the thing about it that got me is that you couldn't even bend it. You couldn't dead it. Even with a sledgehammer would bounce off of it. So I knew that I had never seen anything like that before. And as of now, I don't know what it was.
Major Jesse Marcel is convinced that the material and the ship was not from this world.
It was not anything from this earth that I'm quite sure of. Because I was, being an intelligence officer, I was familiar with just about all materials used in aircraft and in our air travel. This is nothing like that. It could not be. It could not have been.
Major Jesse Marcel was in charge of security and intelligence for all nuclear testing in the United States and in the Pacific Ocean. Major Marcel, one of the most significant military witnesses in this case, died in 1986 at the age of 79, shortly after giving his exclusive interview.
Llegamos así a las conclusiones de esta extraordinaria historia. ¿Cuál es el veredicto final?
Why did the witnesses keep the Roswell incident secret? Who forced them to remain silent until on their deathbed they would confess what they found and experienced? What really happened so many years ago?
I said, it's a big old desert. Nobody will ever find your bodies. So we'll just bury you out there. Nobody will ever know you were ever here. So I promised I wouldn't talk about it.
If the government had told those people, there's a big desert out there, you'll never be found. That's pretty scary for your own government to tell you something like that.
We have to continue to go after the remaining witnesses. We're running out of time. Once they're gone, it's gone. And we have...
So I don't know about you guys, but for me, a lot of that, well, not a lot of it, but a few of the things they pointed out on that were new to me, because I got sick of Roswell probably around 2004. I was like, you know, and until I started talking with Stanton Friedman. So everybody stick around for Keith AZ. He's going to be coming up next in Studio A, and make sure you just come down to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com and click the donations button or scroll down, become a patron on Patreon. Have a good night.
Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio! Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio!
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.